May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We all know that people are complicated. The same person can be very different in different contexts, life situations, and moods. We may be very aware of that with our friends and our family, our work colleagues, our neighbours, but also in ourselves. We can be very different with different people in different situations, and we also go up and down in our life and our faith journeys as our perspectives change. Yet, we are called to be faithful to Christ and to point to Christ even in the midst of those ups and downs and changing contexts. In our gospel reading today, we have a very different picture of John the Baptist than we did in the gospel reading set for last Sunday. Now, we didn't have it read in the 10 o'clock service because we had our nativity play, but we focused on that reading in our 8:30 service last week. And the portrayal of John the Baptist in that reading is the one that we're likely to be most familiar with. John stands on the bank of the Jordan, a charismatic and eccentric figure reminiscent of the prophet Elijah, drawing the crowds to be baptized. He is the fiery preacher who does not mince his words about the reality of judgment and the need for repentance. He is a man who knows who he is and what his purpose is. He is the voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," calling the people of Israel to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And he tells them, "The one more powerful than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John is passionate. He knows what he's saying and doing, and he knows who he is preparing the way for. But the picture we have in this Sunday's gospel reading is strikingly different. John is, of course, in a very different context. Here he is, no longer freely at large, preaching passionately to the mesmerized crowds, but shut up, alone, isolated, in prison. He is alone and vulnerable and afraid. And in this situation, it is perhaps unsurprising that he begins to feel less certain, but rather questioning and doubtful. And he sends messengers to Jesus. "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" The certainty he had about Jesus as the coming Messiah seems to have deserted him. Now, this may be, as I've said, just because of his vulnerable situation in prison. Isolated and afraid with lots of time to think, who wouldn't become self-questioning and doubtful? But it may also be that John feels rather disorientated about Jesus. Jesus is not quite the figure he was expecting, the one with the winnowing fork in his hand, bringing swift and fearful judgment. Jesus instead has been spending his time welcoming the outcast, the poor, and the well-known sinners, showing them mercy and forgiveness. Perhaps John was surprised and even perhaps somewhat disappointed in the way that Jesus' ministry had developed. So is he the one, after all? Jesus doesn't rebuke John for his doubt and questioning. He simply tells the messengers to point out to John what he is doing. "Look and see," he says. "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them." These are not just the wonderful things Jesus is doing in his ministry. They are also the things that the prophets foretold would happen in the day of the Lord, as we heard in our reading from Isaiah this morning. "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. This is a day of joy and gladness, when sorrow and sighing shall flee away." It's as if Jesus is saying to John, "Look again. Am I not fulfilling the role of the anointed Messiah, who is sent to bring good news to the oppressed and bind up the brokenhearted, as it says in Isaiah 61. Many of the visions of the prophets that we hear in Advent are both visions of judgment and of great hope. And certainly that vision from Isaiah we heard this morning is a wonderful vision of hope and joy. The desert shall rejoice with joy and singing, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And joy and gladness are emphasized 5 times in that passage. Perhaps John the Baptist needed his own image of the Messiah to be refined somewhat. The coming Messiah is not only the one who will call people to repentance, but also the one who brings joy, healing, and forgiveness. Now, having answered John's messengers, Jesus turns to the crowd and asks them, who do they think John the Baptist is, and what has he come to do? Well, John, for many, would have evoked the powerful prophets of old, especially the prophet Elijah. Certainly, he is a prophet, Jesus says. And this in itself is a very striking thing, as the Jews of Jesus' day thought the spirit of prophecy had ended with the last prophets, Zechariah and Malachi. Yet here, it seems, is a new prophet, prophesying a new era in God's dealings with his people. Indeed, Jesus says John is more than a prophet, for he is not only proclaiming God's word, but fulfilling it, because he is the one that is written about in the prophet Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. John is that messenger preparing the way for the Messiah. But then Jesus goes even further. Truly I tell you, he says, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. These are incredible words. Jesus is in fact saying that John is the greatest person that has ever lived up to that point. Yet, Jesus says, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That is, anyone who follows Jesus and enters his kingdom is even greater. So what are we to make of these words? What kind of greatness is Jesus talking about? If we were asked about all the great figures of faith up to the time of Jesus, we probably wouldn't think of John the Baptist. We might think of Moses or Elijah or David. Yet Jesus says there is no one up to this point greater than John the Baptist. But it's hard to focus on John's greatness, because it consists of his humility, his pointing away from himself. He doesn't draw attention to himself. Well, this kind of self-effacing greatness, the greatness of faithful humility, is certainly not much in evidence in our world leaders today. I won't name any names, but many of them are very full of themselves and are very keen to publicise and promote their own greatness to everyone at every opportunity. And sadly, many people seem to be mesmerised by that bluster and self-assertion. As the Dean of Westminster said recently, talking about the recent UK election campaign, we crown assertion. We canonise aspiration. Be grand, be ear-catching, and don't worry whether or not it's actually true. No, humility is not very much in vogue in our world today. But John the Baptist's greatness consists in pointing away from himself and becoming less and less significant as the gospel story progresses. So it's hard for us even to see his greatness, because we can't quite focus on it. And in a sense, of course, we are not meant to. Because John is like a powerfully burning candle, the brightest burning candle we could imagine, flickering brightly for a moment in the darkness before the sun comes out. And when we look at the sun, the brightness of the candle is forgotten. John is great and small at the same time, and his greatness consists in his willingness to be small and to point away from himself. Whether he was preaching powerful sermons on the bank of the Jordan, full of zeal and confidence, or whether he was alone in prison, vulnerable and questioning, he pointed away from himself, longing for the one he knew was greater than he. As we move through this season of Advent, may we learn from John the Baptist to look away from ourselves and to yearn for God. Whatever our context, whatever our mood or frame of mind, and of course it will change frequently, whether we're full of certainty and sense of purpose or filled with anxiety and questioning, let us turn to Jesus. And as we look to Jesus, we might need to look with fresh eyes, as John the Baptist had to. Perhaps sometimes our picture of Jesus is made too much in our own image, and we may need to have that image changed. But the challenge is to continually look away from ourselves to him, to let go of our desire to attract attention, to be considered great in the world's eyes, or at least in the eyes of our work colleagues and our neighbours. Throughout Advent, let us learn the lesson of humility as we approach the most wondrous act of humility ever, as the immense and holy God is born as a tiny and vulnerable baby. Like John the Baptist, we are called to point away from ourselves to Jesus. We may come to realise that we are indeed the least in the kingdom of heaven. But in the joy of that kingdom, there lies a wonder and a greatness we cannot even imagine. Amen. Amen.